Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Bob Glynn, S.J., parochial vicar. It is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
I don't know if you're lucky or you're like me. Almost every night I have dreams that certainly border on nightmares. And in last week, well, no, it's not been the last week, it's been the last few months, my dreams keep taking me back to actually somewhere where I was rather happy, St. Philip Neri Primary School, Alameda, California, 94501. All right, it's a place I was very happy. But in your dreams, you know, you don't get to make the dream most of the time, so you get to go back to those unhappy little corners of your life. And so I'm in grade two. Sister Matilda Carmel, she was rough. I loved school. I loved it. And we would get, you know, merrily through the school day. I was a good student. I loved school. Until this one horrible moment in the day, 1:45 p.m. My internal clock still quakes at the thought of it. Sister would announce, "Time for kickball." Oh, my heart would sink. We were 25 boys and 25 girls in this class. And this is why Sister had to keep kind of tight control in this small classroom. And so I think it was the great moment of joy in her day when she gave us that horrendous red rubber ball to run outside. You could hear the glee, "Yes, kickball time!" Except we weren't allowed to make noise like that. And I would just go out in dread, because there were 22 good kickball players among the boys. And then there were the three others of us. Now, the three others of us were the best students in the class. I think there might have been a correlation. I don't know. All right. But we could not play kickball to save your life. I still shudder to think if anyone rolled a red rubber ball my way, if there would be any hope. But I didn't hate the kickball game as much as I hated the choosing of teams. Because you always had two of the studly boys, okay, maybe Joe DiGiulio or Randy Ratto, who was an island of Italians. I was a rare person. But they would choose. And of course, that because there were 25 boys, it took a while to go through the little picking. And the three of, there were the 12, or the 22 who had the happy picking, and then we would be down to the last three, and we were always standing there a bit like this, thinking, oh, maybe they'll just forget us, you know. Now, if there were three, they always had to go through the full picking, because it meant that one team had to get two of the losers, while the other team only got one loser. Now, if one of us was absent that day, then often they didn't finish the picking. They just say, well, one of you go with one team and one of you go with the other. It doesn't really matter. And it was dreadful. Every moment of it on that halcyon island, the ball would come. Oh, I still remember it. You know, and it was just this red rubber thing, and you'd hear from the background, "Easy out, easy out." And it always was. That was the frightening thing. It always was. Because then it would go straight, and I was always thinking there was some trick, and then it would go like that underneath my leg. It was never very good. Or then that mean Joe DiGiulio, he was mean. Right, and he would do the bounce the ball, and it would bouncing along, and then I would kick, and then of course fall over, to the great delight of all the stupid people in the class who were also the good kickball players. Well, one day came, and we had John Steer and Randy Ratto choosing the teams. So the three of us had gotten ourselves over in the corner, as always, prepared for yet another moment of disgrace. And we were on number one, number two, number three. And at that time, there were two... Well, I can't even say our names. We were both Robert, because that nuns only accepted full names. But I got to be Robert because I was the more intelligent, and the other one got to be Bobby because he was less intelligent. That was the ruling on this. I don't know. But he was a much better kickball player. So we had the one, two, three, and then I heard my name. Robert, this is round three, not round 12. I looked around. I thought maybe we have a new kid in the class. I paused. I hear, "What are you doing? You're wasting the pick. How could you pick that idiot?" It must be me. So then, I mean, I had never been picked third. I didn't even know what to do. I was basking in the glory of it. And I kind of looked like, "Did you make a mistake?" "You must have done." I thought, "Wonder what this is going on here." So then I had to go over and say, "Get on the team, get on the team." I thought, "Okay, I'll get on the team." So the other two were looking at me like, "What's wrong with you? How did you do this?" You know, now, the truth be told, this game was every bit as big a disaster as every other game. The only difference was that I got to miss the ball more times because I was earlier in the lineup, having been chosen third, so that you can get out more times. You know, and we're easy out, and it went on the whole damn time. And the game was over, and then I heard, "We lost because you picked him third." And I thought, "We probably did, you know." And so then John came by. John was a big, nice kid, hey. Put his arm, he said, "Good game." I thought, well, that was a lie. All right, but... And I looked at him and I thought, huh. You know, and what I came to realize was that my whole time... I mean, I hated kickball all the way through grade four when we were finally allowed to finish playing the damn game and then picked up baseball, which was even worse. But, yeah, we won't say anything about baseball. But... what I realized was that, you know, I never know why he picked me. I thought, well, it's not, he was a mediocre student and I was very good, but I never helped him with his work. You know, my father and his father didn't do business together. My mother's, our parents were okay to each other. There was nothing. And I could never figure it out. And he never chose me third again. Well, I mean, maybe he learned his lesson, but I mean, he didn't have to. But I was never the same because of that. Because he called my name and I thought, you know, I was never just always last, an afterthought. My name never called. The other two, it wasn't true for. But it changed me. And I think today, you know, this gospel reading, and we take it, oh yes, Jesus wandered around and merrily called everybody in sight. Well, he didn't. We have the names of the people he called. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but he was not choosing the A-list, team one. I mean, look, he chose four fishermen who couldn't catch a damn thing when they were on a lake all night long. He caught people who didn't believe in the miracles. He caught people who were too stupid to understand the parables. He caught people who really weren't up to scratch. And he ultimately caught people who didn't understand him and ran away when he most needed them. Good team picking, Jesus. Yet what we trust, because we do trust Jesus, his Son of God, is that when he looked at Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, he saw with the Father's eyes what we cannot see. He saw what was there that we might never understand. I mean, I don't really know what he saw in them. But whatever he saw in them, and when he called them, their lives were changed forever. They had been called. They had gone with. They had accompanied the Son of God on earth. Their lives would never be the same. He had seen them differently than everyone else would, and that they would see themselves. As Christians, we say we are called, and we believe it, and I believe it. Yet we spend a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, well, what are the things Jesus calls me for? What are my talents? How does Jesus want to use me? Well, that's helpful. But a lot of times, that thinking goes along with our thinking about being in an institution like this. I have to be the best. I've got to be good. I need to be perfect. I need to get through my PhD. I need to get tenure. I need to publish. Whatever this may be. I need to get all A's. I need to get this fellowship. I need to whatever, and then I will really prove myself that I am worthy of whatever this is that I think is inside of me. And I think we know that every time we get one of those things, we say, oh great, now the next concern, where I might show that I'm not really worthy of anything at all. And in our faith, Jesus does call us, and he doesn't seem to qualify it. He doesn't tell us that we've already have to be perfect, we have to do wonderful, we have to qualify. In fact, he spends a lot of trying to say, every time you fall in a good line of people who have been falling for 2,000 years, and to whom I entrusted with my welcome and my call, this church, that somehow, with the A-team not present, manages to survive over 2,000 years and proclaim my name. And sometimes when we even get the, yes, he calls me with all my failures and faults, that he sees me as the Father sees me, then I think, yes, I must go forth in the mission. Yes, we must do this together. Yes, I must be in the choir. Yes, I must read. Yes, I must lead some social justice. And yes, I must be part and parcel of the church. And then I look around me and I think, and I really need a good team with me. So I won't pick anybody who's not super bright. I wouldn't pick them in the lab for my team, my partner, would I? I won't pick anybody who is shabby or poor or homeless, or they're not going to be successful, because now I know what it takes because I've made it. And once we start to think like that, we have not understood or heard the good news. And Jesus will have to call us again and again and again so that we can be reformed to see what he sees in each of us, that is what the Father sees, and that we can never exactly know until we see him face to face.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.